Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
But anyway, back to the Lutzes. They were like, hell yeah, we got a fucking deal. Like, just because people got murdered here, everyone's freaking out about it, but not us. We're like, tight. This is tight. So they moved in. And even though they didn't really believe in ghosts, they still had a priest bless the house just in case. His name was Father Ray Pecoraro. He tried to bless the house, and according to Lutz, the priest said he felt an unseen hand slap him in the sewing room and heard a voice say, get out.
Shit.
And then
They still stayed, though, right? This is like a horror movie.
Well, yeah, yeah. Well, then the priest became very ill with flu-like symptoms and started throwing up, and his hands began to bleed. And so he was he's like, I quit. he left.
And they're like, hey, can we get another priest in
here?
Well,
no, they were like, okay, we're going to move in anyway. Hello, welcome back to Shit They Don't Tell You. I'm Nikki Limo.
Hello, everybody. And a very spooky October evening to you.
I'm just going to say that. Oh. You just say your fucking name.
My name is Stephen Green.
That's all I want from you. Okay. That was my stupid co-host, Steve Green.
Wait.
He also happens
I'm not stupid.
Be my husband. He bought me a really nice ring, though, so.
I like that ring.
I guess I'll stay.
It looks good on you.
We're continuing our Shocktober schedule for you today.
I thought mine was better.
I'm not even done yet.
It's just not that scary.
With the topic of the presidential election. That's pretty scary.
That was scary.
That's pretty scary. That was scary. Right. Okay, we're not talking about that. I'm just kidding. We're talking about the Amityville Horror today. Horrors or horror?
Horrors.
There were multiple horrors.
Yeah, there's multiple.
So I'm just going to say the Amityville Horrors, even though the book is called just a singular horror. Just one horror.
I'm into it.
All right. Well, if you can handle multiple horrors, then you're in the right spot.
I can always go for more horrors.
It's me too.
Yeah.
Horrors are underrated.
Aren't they?
I just could use some more of them. Some more horrors. Anyway, we're getting into an actual story. Don't worry. Okay, so have you heard of the Amityville Horrors?
What was her name? You know what I mean?
Because it sounds like the other word.
It does,
for
actually.
A female.
Quite a bit.
Who sleeps around a lot.
Oh, yeah.
Have you heard of the Amityville Horrors?
I have heard of them, but I have to admit that I only know them in movie poster form.
Oh, so you, but did you watch those movies?
No, I don't watch scary movies ever.
Okay. That's right, because you're a little scaredy pants.
My dreams are scary enough. Thank you.
From what I hear, that sounds to be true. I have pretty cool dreams. The last dream I had, it involved, I did LSD, not in real life, in the dream I did LSD.
Okay.
And I tripped out and it had like really cool visions of like rainbows and stuff.
Yeah.
I've never done drugs in a dream before, especially ones that I've never done in real life.
You mind the fucking Joe Rogan podcast right now? Wow.
No. Okay. A lot of bits, dude. I'm just trying to ask if you have ever heard of the Amityville Horrors.
I answered you.
Okay. Cool. So, in that case, I guess I will tell you all about the Amityville Horrors. I like this story a lot because there's not just one part, but there's like multiple parts to it. So in the first part, there is this home, and in the summer, no, in the autumn of 1974, a family was murdered, and out of seven people, only one survived, and that was the killer. And his name was Ron DeFeo Jr., but people called him Butch. And he was living in the house with his parents and his siblings, and his dad was kind of abusive. So a lot of like his anger problems, I think, stemmed from his abusive childhood. And he ended up getting a job at the family auto body shop, but he would miss work a lot and be like at bars instead, and like developed a drug and alcohol addiction, and would have like violent outbursts a lot. One time he pulled a gun on his dad. One time he just, you know, he raged a lot. You know, he was just an angry dude, and he was on drugs and alcohol. Then in the early hours of November 13th, 1974, Butch went from room to room randomly, murdering his family members one by one as they slept with a gun. I think it was a shotgun. The murdering took 15 minutes, but there was no sign of struggle on any of the victims.
How do you not wake up when you hear a shotgun?
Exactly. That's what's so weird about this. So there's multiple weird parts. Well, there's many weird. The whole thing's weird. But it's really weird that no one seemed to have heard anything. Like, him killing someone upstairs didn't wake anybody downstairs. And the neighbors said they didn't hear any gunshots or anything. They heard the dog barking at one time in the night. But that's it. Like, they don't recall any gunshots, nothing. And the gun didn't even have a silencer on it. So how the hell do you not hear a shotgun murdering six different people?
Damn. Do they have shotgun silencers? That'd be kind of sick, huh?
Or a rifle or whatever. Yeah, I don't know. But there was not a silencer on the gun. And then Butch took a shower, and he reported the murders to the police, saying at first that he found his family like that when he got home from work. He was like, I got home from work and they're all dead, Z's. But then he changed the story and said that, like, actually these mafia dudes showed up and like forced him to kill his own family. And then he got a good try. He tried a lot. And then he got interrogated and he cracked under pressure and then just basically admitted that he killed his family. He just killed his family, and he says that he felt like it was the right thing to do. He then said that he heard voices telling him to kill his family members, but then prosecutors had a psychiatrist argue against that and diagnosed Ronald with antisocial personality disorder, basically saying he didn't hear voices actually, and he wasn't possessed. Like, shut up. He just thought killing his family wasn't wrong. And that's that. And so he got sentenced to six lifetime consecutive life sentences.
Always love that.
In prison, which he's still serving right now.
Which one's he on?
I think that's still the first one.
Okay.
Cool. Yeah.
Always enjoyed that.
Right?
Yeah.
Isn't that stupid? Like,
it's the best.
Because if you get a lifetime sentence, it should be for life, but you can make it not for life if you're just a good person. In jail.
It's so funny.
You're like a murderer, but like then you did good Z's in jail.
I like it when they're like, you get 380 years like of time or whatever. Yeah. It's like, come on, man.
Because they know that reduced sentencing is possible through good behavior, so they have to make it like extra, extra, so that there's no possible chance.
Just say lifetime and you're good.
It should be that way.
One time.
It should be that way. Yeah. But it's not, because our system's weird.
I digress.
Okay, so then a little more than a year later, a new family decided to buy this house, the Lutz family. Some people thought it would be haunted, but the Lutzes...
Lutz, like Lutz?
Like, almost like Will Lutz.
Will Lutz
the
Jr.
kicker for the New Orleans Saints.
Perfect.
Yeah. Well, he's not related, because they spell it differently, but...
That was so sexy that you know that, by the way.
Thank you.
I love that you know that.
He was my kicker a few years ago.
I just love that you know that.
He's a great kicker.
He's a solid kicker. I don't think he's kicking anymore, though.
No, he is.
Oh, is he?
He's kicking it.
It's tight.
Yeah. So the Lutzes were hunting for months, but then they saw this listing, and at the time they didn't realize that it was the DeFeo home where those murders took place. But then
we got a cool discount.
Well, they checked out the house, and they fell in love. It's like this 6-bedroom heated pool, has a large boathouse on the Amityville River. They were like, oh my gosh, it was out of their budget, actually. They were looking for something in like the $30,000 to $50,000 range. This one was $80,000, but it was for this huge, gigantic house, which was considered a steal. So they fell in love with it. And then they found out that the murders took place there. But at that point, even though they hadn't put an offer on it yet, they were so in love with it.
We love the view.
They were basically like, you know what? Houses don't get haunted. Whatever. We don't buy it.
It's like, look at the yard, honey.
Exactly. They're like, what happened to the past is the past. We're not gonna taint our house by listening to these stories.
I'm fucking out of there.
Acting like it's
even
haunted.
Even the sickest Vegas home that you showed me recently, if I found out that a family got murdered inside of it, I'm out.
Do you know there's some sort of statistic that a person has died in every single hotel room in Vegas or something
like
that?
Yeah, I heard about that.
Like, it's what crazy. The hell?
Because there's so many suicides out there.
Suicides and probably drug overdoses.
Oh, yeah. Well, not to mention some people go there to gamble and then they
lose everything.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. That's sad.
Uh-huh.
All right. If you have a gambling addiction, you should call. There's phone numbers to call to get help. That's a serious note. I'm not even joking. True. Like, just call that number. But anyway, back to the Lutzes. They were like, hell yeah, we got a fucking deal. Like, just because people got murdered here, everyone's freaking out about it, but not us. We're like, tight. This is tight. So they moved in. And even though they didn't really believe in ghosts, they still had a priest bless the house just in case. His name was Father Ray Pecoraro. I don't know if I said that right, but Ray Pecoraro. He tried to bless the house, and according to Lutz, the priest said he felt an unseen hand slap him in the sewing room and heard a voice say, get out.
Shit.
And then
they still stayed, though, right? This is like a horror movie.
Well, yeah, yeah. Well, then the priest became very ill with flu-like symptoms and started throwing up, and his hands began to bleed. And so he was
what
like, he's like, I quit. he like left. And he still experienced those symptoms after.
And they're like, hey, can we get another priest in
well,
here?
No, they were like, okay, we're going to move in anyway.
So I fucking love this family, yeah. Dude. You know what they are? They're me. I'm like, I already fucking bought this thing,
yeah, they're
man.
Like,
this
we're already in
deal.
Love with it. It's too late. Like, we like this place. The priest had his own issues. We get it. Like
his hands randomly started bleeding. Like it's his issue.
It's his problem. We're not going to delve into
his
health
issue.
Health
it's his issue. Private
exactly.
Issue.
It's private. It's between him and his doctor.
Beautiful.
So they moved in anyway, but within days, they began to notice some very strange phenomena. Okay, so at first, it started out light. So before moving, George Lutz was a businessman, and he was like very hustle culture businessman. But then immediately after moving in, he had a huge personality change, and he became very sluggish and chilled, but also like really cranky. So he'd like just kind of like, leave me alone. Like, I just want to do my thing. And he just wanted to chill, but he didn't want anyone to talk to him.
This is like The Shining.
Yes, it is very much like The Shining.
Hmm.
I think that's why the books ended up doing so well, the book and the movies. But anyway, I'll get to that.
Okay.
So then he would wake up at 3:15 every night. Like, no matter what, no matter what time he went to bed,
the witching
no
hour.
Matter how much he slept or how many vitamins he was taking, he would wake up at 3:15 every night. Come to find out, supposedly that was the exact time the DeVale murders took place.
Jesus.
Exactly at 3:15. So then one night there was an incident where he saw his 5-year-old daughter Missy standing by her window with an outline of a pig with red eyes behind her. So he ran inside her room only to find her fast asleep. And then shortly after, like the next day, Missy would talk about a new friend she was playing with, a pig.
Oh, no.
Named Jody.
Oh, no, no.
Yeah. Okay. Then another thing was the house would never get warm. Like, even if it was hot outside or whatever, like, the house would just never get warm. So they would leave the fireplace running day and night and would find strange gelatinous drops when they woke up in the morning.
Ectoplasma for you scientists.
Ghostbusters.
Science fans.
Another incident, George looked down at his wife, Kathy, as she was sleeping and saw the face of a 90-year-old woman with like gray hair, wrinkles, everything. Like, she completely morphed into a 90-year-old woman. And apparently one of the effects that the house had on Kathy was that she would go through periods of time where she would just age unnaturally, like really fast, and then appear to be an entirely different person. And her mom even witnessed it.
Can it happen where they look way younger and hotter?
No.
Oh.
Just old. But how crazy is that? Like, if I... her, because she was like my age And then all that's of a sudden, like, wild. You look at me and I look 90 with I look like a skeleton with gray hair and everything.
Dude, this reminds me of when we were staying on the Queen Mary.
Yeah.
And you saw me sitting up in a chair.
Oh, yeah.
In the dark.
Yeah.
But I was actually next to you.
Yeah.
And then when you looked again, it was gone.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking crazy.
I don't know if I've shared that story on this podcast before, but yeah, that was an experience I had on the Queen Mary. I woke up and I saw Steve sitting up in bed staring at me, and then I was like, "What's wrong?" And then I looked down and he was actually sleeping in the bed, and then I looked back up and he was gone. Like he was.
So gone. And it did it look like me or was it like a?
It was a shadow. It was a silhouette. Yeah. Just staring. Anyway. Back to the.
Well, anyway, I mean, dude, come on, finish the story.
No, I'm brushing that off.
Yeah, exactly. It's interesting.
Okay, well, then the next morning I found out that because the Queen Mary is supposedly haunted and supposedly there's a ghost that lives in the room that we were staying in right below the room that we were staying in that people have reported having a figure at the edge of their bed staring at them while they slept.
What do you think of that, folks?
And I didn't know any of that. She didn't
know about that until the next day when we looked it up.
The next day when I was telling my sister-in-law about yes. it. Anyway, back to the Lutz. Can we get back to the Lutzes?
We may.
So that's weird. They had gelatinous stuff. Oh, yeah, and the wife was, like, old and stuff. Okay, and then one night, he says he heard his children's beds slamming up and down on the floor above him, but he was unable to do anything because he was immobilized in bed by an unseen force. So he, like, had sleep paralysis, basically, but, mm-hmm. like, the beds were slamming. Feeling. And then later that night, the same night, he woke to see his wife levitating and moving across the bed, he says.
I don't know that feeling.
Right?
Holy shit.
That's tight, though. I've always wanted to levitate.
Dude, you've been so pissed sometimes, I think you're going to levitate.
I want to.
Yeah.
How tight would that be? No one would fuck with me. I would just levitate, and they'd get freaked out.
Yeah, they would.
Man.
Especially when you're raging. When you're really raging, if you could levitate while you're doing it, maximum terrifying.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to hurt anybody. Like, I wouldn't be all, like, carry and, like, light shit on fire with my eyeballs. No. I just, like, want to levitate a little.
I completely understand.
Can I levitate a little?
Yeah.
Okay. Other strange things that occurred, because that's not even the end of it. So, doors would rip off their hinges. A room full of flies would happen in the middle of winter. They would find cloven hoof prints in the snow just outside their doors, which I don't think is that weird, but that's, like, something that... They listed. I'm like, what if there were deer? Like, who cares?
Yeah, hoof prints is not that good.
But that was like a weird thing. Like, that's like, I don't know. I don't.
The devil's feet are goat.
Cloven and cloven.
Right. But that's pretty weak.
Yeah, because I guess I just don't really know about snow or like woods, animals, wood animals.
There's fucking deer everywhere.
I just don't know about it enough. So, but my California brain's like, that's not weird for those winter people.
Mm-hmm.
Well, anyway, there was more weird things. So there was green slime oozing from the walls. Very cool. And then they discovered a secret room in the basement that wasn't in the house's original blueprint. It was painted blood red and was only big enough for two people to sit intimately close and had a strong odor that would come and go.
What the fuck?
Not weird at all.
How do you even list that on Redfin?
Well, it wasn't listed. It was a secret room they found, and it's not even in the original blueprints. So the people that built the house didn't build that.
What the fuck?
Someone else did. Something evil, perhaps.
Is this house still standing?
Yes. Also, the dog wouldn't go in this room at all. And George says, quote, he just wouldn't go in. George Lutz is the dad. George said he just wouldn't go in. He would back away. And it's the only time I can recall him ever cowering from something.
Whoa.
Yeah.
From the room.
From that room. He would not go in.
Interesting.
And he would cower. And the dog, I guess, like, he's normally a very confident dog. Mm. Yeah. One night, George Lutz heard the sound of a band playing downstairs, and he went into the living room to investigate, but there was no one there. But the rug had been rolled up, and the furniture had been moved as if to make room for dancing. That's like The Shining, too.
Of all the haunting things, that's the one I could handle the most.
It's so tight, though. It's like so tight. It's like a party happened. But then you miss the party.
They're doing a live remote.
Because it happened like 50 years ago and all those people are dead now.
Damn.
Yeah. They enlisted the help of a priest, but that happened first and he didn't come back. But this priest that they had originally enlisted to bless the house, the one that had the hands bleeding. You know, that guy I was talking about before? Okay.
Yeah, medical issue guy.
So there's this this author, Jay Anson, who ended up writing Amityville Horror, he said that after interviewing the priest was what solidified his decision to write the book, because then it was a corroboration. It was actually happening to someone, like instead of just like a story that you were hearing, like it was actually happening to many people in this house. And then, okay, so the Lutzes are dealing with their shit. And then 28 days later, a particularly scary night prompted the whole family to pack their bags and never return. I can't find any details about why this particular night was more scary than his wife levitating or like green slime oozing from the walls. But apparently this one like was really the kicker, and it prompted the whole family to like they just up and left. They left all the food in the fridge. They left their clothes in the closets. They just fucking left. And they hadn't planned on leaving. Everything was still there. And then their belongings ended up getting auctioned off later. But they never went back. They just could never return.
What happened?
I don't know. Personal theory, I think maybe the dad was getting possessed. And I think maybe he was going to kill one of the family members or something.
So all of a sudden, one night, they're just like, peace.
Yeah.
And they didn't say why?
No, I couldn't find out why. Like, there's nothing recorded about, like, what exactly the details were. I mean, there was a lot of other incidences, but I don't know what made that particular night the night. And I'm thinking, we'll get to it after I finish everything, yeah. Because I have a theory.
When was this?
I have a theory. So this was in 1976.
Okay.
Yeah.
I thought it was the 70s. Okay, so that family could potentially be still around then.
They're not. Well, the kids are.
Okay.
But the kids are like 37 now. Mm-hmm. But yeah, unfortunately, Kathy and George, they divorced in the 80s, and then now they're both deceased. One died in 2004, one died in 2006.
And nobody ever interviewed them about it?
No, they did. We'll get to that.
Oh, sick.
Yeah. Okay. So the Lutzes ended up sharing their experiences with Jay Anson, who wrote the book, and that he turned their story into a bestseller, The Amityville Horror. But weird things happened surrounding that book, too. Okay, so... One, Anson had a heart attack right after writing, but he refuses to associate it with the book. He's like, you know,
how boring.
He's like, yo, blame it on me smoking. Like, blame it on like real things. Like, it has nothing to do with the book.
You could sell way more books if you're like, yo, I think it was the book.
Nah. I think that was smart, because even if he did believe it, he wants to appear more logical minded.
Smart guy.
It appeals to both. Eater. Yeah. So anyway, he didn't attribute it to that. But he said some of the people he sent the original manuscript to or early copies of the book also had weird things happen to them and were their children, one being fatal. Okay, so one had a fire break out in his car as he was driving back to the publisher with the manuscript in his trunk. The second friend and son almost drowned in their car while a copy of the manuscript was also in their trunk. And reportedly, when the car trunk was opened, the only thing that was dry inside the trunk was the manuscript, even though it had only been held in a clasp paper envelope.
Almost drowned in the car?
Yeah, they almost drowned.
Like they, like
their car went into a river.
That helps.
Yeah.
I was like, "What? Was he choking on water?"
No, like he spilled the water, and they almost drowned.
Right.
No, their car went into like a river or a body of water, and they almost drowned.
If you straight face right now, we're just like. The car was filled with buckets and buckets of water.
Randomly.
If you said that with a straight face, I would have been like, holy shit.
Wait, buckets? Just
No, they were transporting buckets and buckets of water, they all fell over and they started to drown. Yeah.
This is not funny. These are two people that almost drowned.
Yeah, true.
Okay, but isn't that weird, though? They opened the trunk. Everything's wet in there.
It's amazing.
This manuscript is dry, like bone dry.
Love it.
But it's only in an envelope.
This is really good so far.
Okay, then the third friend, this one's more sad because this person passed away, but this third friend who Anson gave the first two chapters to read, she died in a fire the first night she received them, and in the remains of the fire, the manuscript was found in perfect condition.
Wow.
Perfect condition. Everything else burnt to a crisp. Manuscript, like nothing ever touched it.
Wow.
And she died in that fire. So that's pretty creepy, right?
If I'm this guy, I'm making a lot of copies of this fucking manuscript.
Giving it to your enemies.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Yeah, we gave it to his friends and family. How sad.
That is sad.
Yeah. So then two movies were made based off of this book. One happened in, I think in the 70s, like after the book was a hit. I can't remember. But the second one was with Ryan Reynolds in 2005. Do you remember that one?
Of course I don't.
Okay, well, I remember that one. He was crazy in that movie, but still hot. still, he had a beard.
Great, I'm caught up.
That's how I rate movies, by the way. Exactly. We're going to be rating movies in a different episode.
We will be.
But not Ryan Reynolds movies, unfortunately. But the movies strayed a lot from the book. In the 2005 version, they like kind of based it around like the DeFeo children who got murdered, like as if their ghosts were haunting it.
Mm.
And so that movie like was more about like the ghosts popping up here and there and freaking you out. The first one was more about the house being haunted, which I think is more like the book.
Okay.
But they still like invented things. Both movies invented things about the priest that didn't really happen. Like in one of them, he goes blind. Like chill. He only had blood dripping out of his hands.
Yeah, come on guys. Okay. He only started to float and then he had blood dripping out of his
hands. Why do they need to make things up? Like the truth is actually really weird. Why do you got to make it up?
Everybody's got to put their own spin on shit.
Yeah. But other than these two incidences, like the first family that got murdered in cold blood and then the Lutz family that got like taunted by paranormal activity, no other reported hauntings have occurred in this house. And the house is still there. It's been owned by four different owners since the murders took place. The owner that got it right after the Lutzes moved out had the address changed. But it was last sold in 2016 for $615,000.
Hey, it's a pretty good profit up from the $80K. Come up.
Yeah, well, but it was sold in 2010 for $950,000.
Damn.
Yeah. So, yeah, none of the owner, all the owners that came after were like, yeah.
It's probably worth more, too, because of all this shit.
Probably. Some people. That's what the owners were like. If anything, the only weird thing is like the weirdos that come here and try to take pictures all the time. But they completely redid the exterior. Like, it doesn't look the same anymore. Like, they wanted to make it just deter people from going over there and trying to take pictures of it.
Unlike the Brady Bunch house.
Yeah.
Where many things happened, by the way.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Like what?
Well, a bunch of exterior episodes of the Brady Bunch.
A lot of exterior shots
of that.
Mostly just the intro, but...
Correct.
Yeah.
But then sometimes they're outside.
Oh, true. They are outside sometimes. So. Like when Oliver, like, did something with the basketball.
I have no idea. I don't watch that show.
I used to watch it, but I forget. I was a little kid. There were a couple of people that were haters after the book and movies came out. They're like, this is bullshit. Didn't happen. It's a hoax. They were doing it for money. All this stuff. The lawyer of the original guy that murdered his family, Ron DeFeo, Butch, he was like, yeah, this is really embellished. Like, one day they came to me saying they wanted to write a book. Kathy and George Lutz came to him and said they wanted to write a book, and like they drank a bunch of wine and made up all these crazy things they could like put in the book, and like all of this is just like stuff they made up that night. And they went through multiple lawsuits. I think one was with their stepson too, because like the stepson was in a documentary recently and said that like a lot of this, he's like, it's not a hoax per se, but a lot of it was because his stepdad, George Lutz, was like dabbling in the occult and was like doing satanic things.
Shit.
And like brought it onto him.
Interesting.
So he's like, yeah. So I was 7 at the time, so I don't really remember a lot other than like being really abused by him and then like strange things happening. But he was like doing weird satanic prayers and stuff.
Wow.
Yeah. So there was a couple like people that came out like that, but I dug into it and the Lutzes didn't really make that much money off of this stuff. Like there were movies and books, but they didn't really get a lot of the royalties. I think they only made like $300,000, which sounds like a lot, but a lot of it went to taxes and like paying for lawsuits that happened after. So they didn't really like, I don't think they were trying to make money. Yeah. And then also people were like, well, how come none of the other owners like dealt with these ghost things? Okay.
I don't know, you fucking weirdos.
From the beginning, the Lutzes claimed that the force they encountered in their home followed them when they left.
Really?
And both George and Kathy, even after they divorced, they maintained their stories to their grave. They were like, this fucking happened and it followed us it kind of like ruined the rest of their life. Also, there was no evidence to say that they were not a sane family beforehand. Like they had a really normal life. They were like, didn't try to make a show of anything. They weren't like weirdos. They weren't trying to like do anything artsy or you know, they weren't like, it didn't seem like they wanted to like be haunted by ghosts you know, or like they didn't really want any attention either.
Okay.
Yeah. So it doesn't make sense that they would just like go from being a normal ass family to like, let's lose all of our money on this house on the chance that we might write a book about it. Like, it, and then leave all our belongings there and everything and never return.
It's quite the plan. Yeah.
It's like a really long ball, weird plan if that was their plan. But yeah, they both said that the stuff, it followed them after they left, and they made these statements before the house was sold. They like, so it didn't even get sold yet. Like, it wasn't like the new owner was like, didn't happen to me. And then they're like, well, no, it followed us. They said it before the house got sold. They're like, just so you know, if anyone wants to buy this house, like, it's not haunted because it followed us.
Damn.
Yeah.
And they're like, we have a great rental property if you want to come check it out.
Yeah. Yeah. You should look into the Lutz rental properties.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
So, yeah, two interpretations are equally possible. One, that there was never any evil force in the house in Amityville, or that it left with the Lutzes. But either way, the house is still there and it's not haunted.
So when they were interviewed, the Lutzes, were they like, like all this stuff happened, and then they're interviewed multiple times over the years, and it, and then like they tell the same story every time?
Yeah, basically. So here's my theory. Want to hear it?
I do.
All right. Maybe after we should take a break first and then get into this theory.
You like that shit? We'll be right back.
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, it, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling, because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish, or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
This episode is brought to you by ShipStation. If you run an e-commerce business, you know how much work it takes to produce something great while dealing with complicated shipping issues. That's why over 130,000 companies have turned to ShipStation, an innovative tool that allows you to focus less on shipping and more on building your brand. With ShipStation, you can manage orders, label printing, reporting, and customer service on one easy-to-use dashboard. You'll reduce warehouse costs with reliable enterprise solutions and save thousands on shipping costs with discounts up to 89% off. Plus, you can effortlessly import orders from everywhere you sell online. So, turn your shipping challenges into opportunities for growth. Go to ShipStation.com and use code POD to sign up for your free 60-day trial. That's ShipStation.com, code POD.
Hey, thanks for listening to our podcast. We just want to take a break to tell you to, like, thanks for listening to our podcast. And if you want to rate it, that would be really awesome for us.
Like, listen, we're on break. We're not talking to you like podcast hosts right now. We're just talking to you like people.
As a friend.
And we just want to say, please rate the show, because it helps out huge amounts.
Like, we're not desperate. We're, like, kind of desperate.
We're giving shout outs right now to all the people who are giving it ratings. So huge shout out right now to Brian Jorgensen. That was sick of you, dude. thank you. God bless. Huge shout out right now to Mark W. in Springfield, Connecticut.
Back to our podcast.
Jenny Blake.
Hey, back to our podcast.
In Tuscany,
and
Florida.
Back to our podcast.
God bless you. Thank you.
Steven.
Thank you for supporting the show.
All right. So, possible theories.
Okay.
So, my theory, taking everything into account of, like, the people that were calling it a hoax and stuff, I think that both the DeFeo murders and the Lutz's encounters were due to some satanic rituals. Like,
you do?
Yeah, because there's that room, right? That room that's, like, that they found. So someone built that room, and it's, like, painted blood red. And, like, what was its purpose? And the dog wouldn't go in there? Like, there's some crazy shit happening there. Mm-hmm. Someone was doing some crazy shit in that room. So I think that whenever there's, like, if you look into cases where satanic rituals were performed, there's usually, like, cases of possession or, like, crazy shit going on. Like, it wasn't necessarily...
Like, stories of that stuff, like, coming out of it.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Like, and it's not like the ghost stories where it's like, oh, someone died there and their, like, spirit haunts it. It's like, no, these are, like, demonic, crazy-ass forces, kind of like the exorcist stuff that we were talking about a few weeks ago. And, like, whether you believe it or not, I'm just saying that a lot of these have a thread line of there being satanic rituals performed in the houses that people get quote unquote possessed out of.
Interesting.
And so I think maybe as a theory, someone along the lines that owned this house before the DeFeos was, or maybe someone in the DeFeo family, I don't know, maybe, but someone was doing satanic rituals there, left a demonic portal or whatever, like there were conjured up black magic evil spirits. And that, like, because the DeFeo guy just said, like, something came over him and he felt like he had to murder his whole family.
Right.
Like, how does that happen? You know? He did have, like, some violent history, you know, some drug and alcohol abuse. But sometimes, like, in the exorcist stuff, the drugs and alcohol or abuse opened you up for possession.
Yeah.
Right. So if you're going to buy that possession is real, I'm just saying, then the possession cases are like child abuse victims, people, addicts, people like that, that maybe kind of like let their guard down and like evil stuff can enter. So I'm thinking, and 3:15 is when he killed his family. That's like the witching hour. Okay.
For sure.
So
confirmed.
Like, I feel like maybe he was, his shield was down because of the drugs and alcohol. And then maybe evil stuff that from satanic rituals got in him and he killed his whole family. Okay, that's shifting a lot of responsibility to these demons instead of him. So I don't like to do that. But then, and
it's
if there wasn't the second family that came in after, that they're like, they had all these experiences, and the stepson was saying that how like his stepdad got really abusive after they moved in that house. And that, remember, he was saying that the stepdad got into the occult and was like dabbling in satanic forces and stuff. But I'm like, wait, why would they have a priest bless their house when they moved in if they were into satanic rituals before that?
But he did say that his dad was doing satanic shit.
I know. So I think they moved into the house and then the dad got swept up by like evilness that was already in the house. So he started being pulled to doing stuff like that.
I see.
So it's not that it was false. I think the dad was probably doing stuff like that. But I think, how do you go from like being a sane businessman person to like not wanting to do anything at all, just wanting to like sit on the couch all day and like yelling and like abusing your child, and then like going from having a priest that you tried to bless the house, but he quit midway because of the flu symptoms and because of his hands bleeding. So he didn't even fully bless the house.
Wow.
And then now all of a sudden he's doing satanic rituals. I'm like, and then they find this room. I think that like, that had like some sort of doorway. Okay, so then to address the attorney that was like, so after all this stuff happened, they go, whoa, this shit's crazy that what we went through, like we wouldn't have believed it if we hadn't gone through it ourselves. So maybe we should reach out to that DeFeo guy that killed his family, because maybe like he should get some help, like mental help, because this stuff was really traumatic for us. And maybe something happened that like got in him to do this stuff. So they went to talk to that guy's lawyer, and that's when the whole thing went down. The lawyer told them, oh yeah, I'm getting a lot of offers to do books and stuff. Like a lot of people like want to tell my client's story. And like he thought that maybe hearing the Lutz's stories would help sell the book. And so they did meet and talk. But then ultimately the Lutzes said they got creeped out by that guy. Like it seemed like the attorney guy was just out to make a dollar and they didn't want that. They wanted to just like share their stories of what
they
happened
to them.
They
wanted to make a respectable book a dollar.
They wanted someone that wanted to write the story and not wanted to make a dollar.
I got it.
Yeah. And so they ended up going with Jay Anson, which, you know, the rest is history. He went on to write that book.
And make a lot of dollars.
So then the attorney, then after the book and movies are a success, he's going like, yeah, they made all the shit up.
Oh, because
so I feel like that's the motive, is that he missed out on the book deal.
Right.
And then now he's just trying to say, oh, they made all the shit up.
Haters be
hating. Yeah. And he had his client say that, like, oh, I didn't actually hear voices. None of that happened. I made that up.
The name Amityville itself isn't scary at all. But because of this story, every time you hear it, I'm like, ooh.
Yeah, well, Amityville kind of sounds like a cartoon land. Like,
yeah, it just sounds silly.
You know? Because, well, Acme was the Bugs Bunny stuff. Yeah, I don't know.
But it's funny how that works, where you could just have an innocent sounding street and it becomes this fucked up thing once you hear it enough in that context.
You know, the way that I got introduced to Amityville was through the not hit song, but a pretty cool popular song by an artist named Marsh Mathers the third.
Okay, guys, it's been real.
Mentally ill from Amityville. Accidentally kill his family still.
I know
Thinking
the song.
Thinking he won't, goddammit he will. Mentally ill from Amityville. Mentally ill. Because, you've heard this song?
You guys, when you get married, you marry their music collection.
I feel like I don't play this song enough. I don't think you've heard
it
that
comes
much.
On.
I don't think you've heard it that much.
This is one of those that I like to skip, actually.
That's true. You do skip this one a lot. That's why we don't hear it very often.
Because it's fucking... The hook is a very annoying hook.
Mentally you.
Yes, it's very bad.
I love it.
I don't like it.
Da-doom, da-doom,
oh, God, da-doom, everybody. You guys have no idea. It's like we're all in the car together.
That just brings back so many memories. The bass, though, on his old songs versus his new songs, you got to admit, like, that is such a good song. Compared to like some of the tracks that he's come out with in later years.
It's fine.
Anyway, I really like it. And I think that Ryan Reynolds did a very good job portraying George Lutz. Very handsome job at it.
I have to say, everybody, I did not know anything about the Amityville Horrors. But what surprises me about this is that it doesn't sound that crazy.
I know, right?
Like, I'm like, that's it? I'm like, the fucking Amityville Horrors, the fucking shit that everyone talks about forever, two books and a movie or whatever, and we're talking about, this guy kills his family, which, by the way, that happens in, like, every fucking horror thing, right?
Yeah.
And then the second one is like, some scary stuff happened after.
Well, it's pretty scary. I mean...
But think about the most epically scary shit that you can ever imagine.
Okay, if I saw green ooze oozing from the fucking walls, a pig with red eyes in a shadowy figure, like, standing behind my daughter, and then I look over and my spouse is 90 years old, I'd be pretty fucking freaked out.
Do you see what I'm saying? Do you see what I'm saying, though? It's not that scary. Listen, like... I look over, my spouse looks like she's 90. Oh, wait, now she looks normal again.
Dude, two nights ago.
Not that bad.
Two nights ago, our cat accidentally triggered the motion sensor light in our bathroom, and I freaked the fuck out.
Yeah, me too, actually.
Okay, so.
Well, you know what? There was also, we have another light that randomly goes on.
Yeah, because we need to change the light bulb.
And that happened twice the other night, and I was like ready to fucking fight.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, somebody's downstairs and they just turned the light on. I'm going to fucking...
Oh, so that freaks your little heart out. Oh, by the way, Mr. Steve Green.
Yeah, tough guy, badass.
Pretty much had a heart attack when I was sitting in his computer chair. That's
God
all.
Damn, that
there's no,
me.
There's nothing else to the story. I was just sitting in his computer chair.
So
he came out of the bathroom and had a heart attack.
So I have the loudest fan in my bathroom that has ever existed. It's like a fucking 747 engine, okay, for some reason. So I walk out into my office, and Nikki's just sitting there. I was like, holy shit.
Yeah.
Because I didn't hear you come in at all.
And this is not the first time. He gets very scared by a tiny Filipino lady in his computer chair who he's married to.
She's very hot too.
So I don't know.
I wasn't expecting to see a person there. And the way that you're sitting there, by the way, is like a fucking supervillain.
Okay.
And you know it.
Okay. I'm not sitting like a supervillain.
You're sitting there like a supervillain.
I'm sitting there regular.
Well, okay, let me just say, your little body in this big chair.
Yeah.
You look like a fucking supervillain.
Well, and supervillains are very confident and relaxed, so I am very...
Yeah, and you had your legs crossed, and you're very... Exactly. You're, like, swiveling a little bit.
That's not a supervillain.
It is like a supervillain. It's like Lex Luthor about to fucking get some real estate in the Palisades before he blows up a fault line and creates a coast.
My point being, how can someone that gets scared of that say that a pig fucking with flying over your child's body with red eyes...
It's not that scary. It's just not. Listen, of course, if you're in the room and you have the atmosphere and all that kind of shit.
Yeah, well, he's in the room.
That's scary. No, I know. But I'm talking about everyone talking about the Amityville horrors.
Oh,
I expected some fucking terrors.
Talking about it? Okay, yeah, because you're not experiencing it.
Well, everyone's talked about this story for like 40 years or whatever, right? Or 50 years.
Yeah, because like this dude just went wild and killed his whole family. He killed 6 people in his house. Like imagine like Jen goes wild one day and just kills everyone in your family.
It's not that scary. I'm kidding. Yeah, that would be funny. No, that that's true.
It's just kind of nuts that happened.
It's just something I've heard of before.
And then like the stuff that followed after. Right. Like, because you hear about murders a lot.
Oh,
sure, sure. But you don't always hear like, oh, and then the people that moved in after got super haunted.
I just was expecting some shit where it's like, yeah, and then like, you know, I looked at my husband and he was inside out. You know, it's like, oh, shit.
How crazy does it have to be for you?
Well, not like... You know, he looked like he was 10 years older or whatever. This
He's
is kind of weak
years
shit.
90?
That's weak shit. I think if he was
inside
out.
60 years older.
If he was inside out, that would be fucking scary as hell. Imagine you look at me right now and you look away and you look at me and I'm inside out.
Yeah, that would be scary.
You'd freak the fuck out.
That wouldn't be more scary than any of this stuff.
I think that's way more scary than a pig with ears or whatever it is.
Well, do you have any more theories?
I think that... Anytime somebody makes money off of something, you always have to question
totally
the motive.
Yeah.
But I do believe in ghost shit. I have had my own experiences to have my own beliefs about this particular topic, including your Queen Mary experience.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't go like, this shit doesn't exist. I'm not one of those people.
Right.
I just am... I don't know. I like to be open-minded about this stuff because if we're closed-minded about this topic, I think everything gets very boring.
Right.
Like, think about how...
Well, it sounds like this topic's already boring for you.
Well, it's not as scary as I wanted it to be.
Gotcha.
The Amityville horrors, like, when you say that out loud, people fucking already are shaken, okay? People talk about the Amityville horrors all the time, and I just had never heard the tale. And I was expecting to be freaked the hell out.
It was eerie. It's eerie that nobody heard the gunshots.
Hmm. It's okay. You know what I'm saying?
Say.
When you say it out loud like that, nobody heard the gunshots.
So does like the Ted Bundy stuff freak you out?
Yeah.
That freaks you out.
Yeah, absolutely. And the Dahmer stuff?
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
But then all this paranormal stuff does not freak you out.
No, this particular tale is not as scary as I thought. It's scary. Mm-hmm. It's just not as scary as I thought.
Mm-hmm.
Like if we're talking about epic boat disasters,
yeah.
You got one story, the fucking Titanic, right? And if I'm watching the Titanic
the ship,
movie.
I think the captains would be pretty pissed.
But hold on.
Calling it a
if
boat.
If I'm watching the Titanic movie, having heard about how fucked up the Titanic situation was.
Yeah.
And I watch it, and James Cameron just has the boat sink a little bit. Like, it goes down, but it doesn't, like, go vertical first and, like, plunge into the depths and shit.
Yeah.
If it just has a little leaky and it goes down, like horizontally, I'm bored as hell. See what I'm saying?
Dang.
So, because I came into it thinking this is going to be crazy shit.
It's pretty crazy to me that like this all this if this happened to me and then it followed me after I left my house with
that
all my possessions.
That shit's interesting. I wish I could hear all of that shit.
Yeah.
About like what happened afterward. What was the commonality between their experiences.
I feel like they didn't really want to talk about it because, like, it was being called a hoax and stuff. So, like, they're like, right. Okay, well, nobody believes us anyway, so.
But if you're already the Amityville Horror people, you might as well just go all the way in.
Yeah, well, then they divorced. I don't know why they divorced, but they ended up divorcing, so, you know.
You always hate to hear it.
Maybe one person did want to talk more about it, and then the other one's like, nah.
Do you think that maybe they were probably talking to their friends about getting divorced, and then their friends told them to break up?
Maybe. I think I would have told them to break up.
If
you were abusing my child, I would, yeah.
I would have told them to break up anyway without even any of that evidence.
Oh.
Probably.
Dang. Well, there you go, guys. And I guess Steve doesn't think that this story is very spooky.
Well,
but...
look. No, it's not that. This was a spooky story.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just talking about when you think of the Amityville horrors.
I guess
I'm expecting people to be inside out and all kinds of shit.
What?
Yeah, fuck yeah.
What other story have you heard where people are inside out?
I'm expecting people to be inside out. I'm expecting fucking mummies coming out and shit. I'm expecting bats. I'm expecting.
Okay, so you want like
witchery.
You want serial killers because serial killers do weird shit like that where it's like the body was found inside out because
that's
like
scary
how they leave their
shit.
Marks.
Damn.
But that's like
I got
that's
chills.
Like, okay, so there's a difference between serial killers and. Like paranormal ghost stuff.
Yeah, because one makes people inside out and one doesn't. Exactly. If people is inside out, that's so scary.
So you're for cool serial killers?
No. I'm saying that's really
that's
scary.
Cool. Oh, you think that's really cool?
No.
That they make their people, their victims inside out?
No, that's a straw man argument. I never said
oh,
that.
Oh, you think that's really...
that I think it's scary. I do think it's scary.
Dude, I just like really dove into... all these different types of bad arguments, false argument styles, like a red herring and mm-hmm. a straw man.
Gaslighting.
Yeah, that really was a straw man argument. Slippery slope.
Mm-hmm. It's a good one. Dude, you know what's scary as fuck?
Hmm.
Looking into, like being on a porch at night.
Yeah.
And just looking out into dark woods.
Ew.
That scares the shit out of me.
Yeah, I would never want that.
As a kid, that's what I had in my backyard in Virginia, and we would look out into the woods at night, and it was fucking freaky.
Ew.
Yeah.
I don't know how you East Coast people do it.
It's pretty weird.
I've never had a backyard bigger than, like, 100 square feet.
Well, that wasn't my backyard.
Yeah.
That was, like... connected to the backyard. So if you went beyond the backyard.
Yeah. So I've never had a backyard not connected to someone else's backyard.
I get it. No. Yeah, that's the California lifestyle, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think I feel safe that way.
I get it.
Even though people are actually way more likely to kill you than a ghost.
What's the scariest thing you can imagine for you?
The scariest
thing? What are you
thing?
Most terrified of?
Oh, I don't know if I want to say.
What the fuck?
Well, because then people can use it against me.
What?
They can like try to, and like Harry Potter, like when that thing like knows your worst fear and then it turns into it all the time and like freaks you out.
I don't know that reference.
Well, there's a thing, there's like, I forget what it's called, but it's called something scary and like it knows your deepest fear and then it appears that way to you.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, so if your fear is spiders, it like appears like a spider.
Dude, that's like Ghostbusters and the Marshmallow Man's.
Maybe.
Yeah, because they're like, hey, choose your destroyer and then... He chose the Marshmallow Man.
I don't remember how the Marshmallow Man came to be, so thanks for the refresher.
Yeah.
But yeah, if I had to really think about it, I'd have to think about it.
Dude, mine is deep, dark water.
That is scary.
That's scary as fuck. And you don't even know where up is?
Listen, I get scared really easily. So you could pretty much pick your poison. I get scared of being late.
It's true.
Like really scared.
True.
So
dude, I think about scubaing.
Yeah.
And you're down there, you know, because I'm a certified scuba diver.
Not anymore. It expired.
It didn't expire.
It did.
It didn't expire.
It did.
Prove it.
When were you certified?
2011.
And when did you get recertified?
You don't have to get recertified. Once you're certified, you're certified for life.
I don't think that's true.
It's absolutely fact.
Okay.
And you can't even see where the bubbles are going because it's so fucking dark down there.
Yeah, I'm out. Nope.
Right?
Nope.
Freak you the fuck out.
I used to want to be an astronaut until someone said there's no oxygen out there and you could suffocate. And then I was like, nope.
Dude, same. I wanted to be an astronaut so bad.
Right?
And then I actually pictured being up there and I'm like, this sucks.
Yeah. Well, because Berenstain Bears went to space, and I was like, oh, that's tight.
Dude, how can the scientists even get one thing done up there? I'd be so fucking scared.
I know. Have you seen Gravity?
Shit, yeah.
Like, Sandra Bullock's is all, like, working on the...
Dude, Sandra Bullock's, like, in her panties fucking going all around the place. Doesn't give a shit.
I'm like, wow. And then, okay, so that part where Clooney's like,
Yeah, that's our part.
That's
great.
What I think about, like, if I ever try to be an astronaut.
Me too.
Like, that's the worst death I could think of.
Completely sucks. You ever see videos from the ISS, International Space Station, where they're up there doing spacewalks and shit? Dude, I would be freaking out.
Yeah.
And these guys are just up there with wrenches and shit, like casually like fixing it like it's a broken fence.
Isn't it crazy that like our kittens probably feel that way about being upstairs in the bedroom?
Absolutely.
We have kittens that they've only seen one room their whole life.
So it's their entire universe.
And then the other day we actually took them to the bedroom and they were so freaked out.
Well, even just going through the hallway upstairs, they're like, it's like we're taking them to interstellar space.
Yeah. So fear is what's it called? What's that word where it's like it relates to different people? What's it?
Relative.
Fear is relative. God, I'm so profound. I'm like so profound.
You're deep as hell. I've always said,
like, how do you even handle being my co-host knowing that I just say profound sentences perfectly articulated all the time?
It's a very difficult experience, but mostly you just make fun of me and tell me I need to say the show right and need to say my name right.
That's true. Those are things you should be saying right.
So that's pretty much my experience as a co-host on the show.
Sometimes you pluralize your name and I'm like, what? Why?
I don't really do that.
Steve Greens.
I've never said that.
And that the shit that they do that they don't tell yous.
You finally said the show. Finally, after all these fucking years, she says the show.
We're ending the show now.
It's unbelievable.
We're ending it. Anyway, I hope you enjoyed that. I hope you enjoyed Shocktober so far. We will have more terrific stories to tell you soon.
We're gonna really scare you good.
Yeah. And kind of take your mind off the real scary stuff
that's right.
Actually going on in the world, so... See you next week.
Happy Halloween.
Okay, cut. Mark, can you cut it?
You like that? That
no more.
Was scary.
No
see?
More. Mentally ill from Amityville. Oh.
's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this. When you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.